A loss at Bank of America, a profit at Wells Fargo, what to make of all these bank earnings?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll take stock of all the bank earnings that have been coming in over the last several days and see if there's a trend emerging. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up. The Dow's up 64 points at 11,887. The NASDAQ up about 0.5%. The S&P 500 up about 0.6%. General Electric said this morning profits rose by 51% last quarter. That's in part thanks to a surprising uptick in sales of locomotives. By the way, today President Obama is naming GE's CEO Jeffrey Immelt to head his new Council on Jobs and Competitiveness. That council will replace the Economic Recovery Advisory Board, which was led by former Fed Chief Paul Volcker. Now let's get to the banks. Bank of America said this morning mortgage problems led it to a $1.2 billion loss last quarter, bringing an end to a week of bank earnings that have been all over the place. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial. He's with us live now for more on this. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So looking at these earnings, I don't really know what to make of them. We've got Bank of America with a loss. Goldman Sachs had a profit, but a smaller one than before. Wells Fargo, a record profit. What's the message?
Well, look, it boils down to two things, I guess. One of them is that banks are scrambling to conform with Dodd-Frank. That's the financial reform that was done
right
by Congress last year. Those banks that were not really banks before, like Goldman, essentially a trading shop, are really struggling under this one because proprietary trading is no longer allowed.
Trading that banks do themselves with their own money.
That's exactly right. Now, a bank like Wells Fargo, which is essentially, they do have a trading operation, but it's on behalf of customers, Morgan Stanley also, they did very well because customer trading is fine. As for Bank of America, well, Bank of America, this was luckily for them a one-time expense. It reflects their purchase of Countrywide, and that was just flat-out mortgage fraud.
All right, Chris, give me the 10-second answer here. Why do we care if we're not invested in the banks?
Well, unfortunately, the reason we really care is that Dodd-Frank is going to take away a lot of the ways that banks were making money in the past, which means they're going to be finding all kinds of ways to stick us with new fees over the next couple of years.
Oh, great. Something to look forward to in 2011. Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, thanks so much. Well, while we're talking about the big financial firms, there are some new rules from Washington designed to avoid another financial crisis. Yesterday, the Securities and Exchange Commission approved a requirement that those who sell investments in mortgages and credit card loans tell buyers exactly what's in those loans. Our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale has more.
Back in 2007, a lot of investors in mortgage-backed securities found out the hard way they'd been sold shaky loans. Securities dealers didn't tell them they were investing in subprime mortgages, and many of those homeowners couldn't make payments when housing prices fell. Ever since, the market for securities backed by mortgages or student loans or credit card debt has been struggling. To give future investors more confidence, the SEC says dealers have to tell buyers the mix of debts making up their investments. Portfolio manager Jack Sizelski says the bundlers of those securities should take heed.
They have a reason to be more careful about what they're putting together if they know there's going to be disclosures.
And if the quality of the loans doesn't improve?
If there's a lot of junk being pushed out and there's good disclosure about it, then the market's going to vote with their feet.
With better labeling, Sizelski says investors should pay more attention to what they're buying. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt, it's more car than electric. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
Google surprised Wall Street and Silicon Valley yesterday with the news that 37-year-old co-founder Larry Page will take over as the company's new CEO. 55-year-old Eric Schmidt has been Google's chief for the last 10 years. Meanwhile, tech giant Hewlett-Packard has announced a leadership shakeup of its own. And for more on all this, let's bring in our Silicon Valley correspondent, Steve Henn. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
So why is this shakeup happening at Google, Steve?
Well, Eric Schmidt, Google's outgoing CEO, joked on Twitter that adult supervision at Google was no longer necessary. So this is how he actually put it on the conference call.
I believe Larry is ready. He's been working on this area for a long time. His ideas are very interesting and clever, and it's time for him to have a shot at running this and doing it, and I'm sure he'll do a fantastic job.
So when Eric Schmidt was brought in as CEO of Google a decade ago, he really was thought of as the adult supervision for Larry Page and Sergey Brin,
right,
the founders. 10 years on, I think the concern here in Silicon Valley isn't really about supervision as much as sort of youthful vigor. It hasn't really done anything to challenge Facebook. Its attempt to break into the TV market with Google TV pretty much imploded. And, you know, it promised a music service a year ago that never materialized. So there's some concern about what's going on there.
Now, Steve, there was another shuffle over at Hewlett-Packard. Tell us what's going on there.
And there was a high-profile turnover at Apple with Steve Jobs. You know, it's been quite a week. The turnover at HP is probably the most dramatic in many ways. You know, in the past 5 months, they've replaced their CEO by firing Mark Hurd. They've replaced the company's chairman, and now they've replaced four board members. I think there's a feeling at HP that they just need a fresh start. The board was widely seen as dysfunctional. They're facing shareholder lawsuits, and they're just trying to start over. Reboot.
Marketplace's Steve Henn fully booted up for us this morning. Thank you so much for your time.
Sure thing.
And finally, here in New York, the Taxi and Limousine Commission has given the okay to a new dress code for cab drivers. From now on, a professional appearance will be required. One annoyed driver told his buddy, "It's all about how we look to everybody else, never how they look to us." In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
It's arguably the strongest economy in the Western world. However,
we are not living in a wonderland in Germany. We have also a lot of things to improve.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. What the U.S. can learn from Deutschland and what they can learn from us. That, the day's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.